baby announcements, and there was a link to Pinterest. 1,000 plus ideas about baby announcements. So you can see that in our culture, we have sort of gotten, I think, a little carried away with this whole area of baby announcements. And it's sort of become like a competition, you know, who has the best baby announcement? Well, how about this idea? You pinpoint the people that you want to announce that your baby has come. Okay, and while they're just minding their own business, it best to be maybe in a dark area, okay? You have an angel appear, just like that. And they say, a baby has come, and you scare the daylights out of those people. And then, if that's not enough, you have a choir of thousands of angels as backup vocals to proclaim the announcement of the birth. Now that would be a baby announcement. And though the arrival of Jesus was not proclaimed to thousands of people at once, I think we all have to admit that the way that it was pronounced or announced to the shepherds out there in the field who were just minding their own business, keeping flocks at night, you have to admit that was the birth announcement of birth announcements. And that's what we're going to look at today. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We've been talking about things worth celebrating, and today we're going to be looking at good news worth celebrating. And I want to read this passage to you. You notice verse 8 begins, it talks about shepherds, and verse 20 ends by talking about shepherds. So you have a little section here, and so we want to be looking at that. And let me read this familiar Christmas story to us. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round of them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So this Christmas, we've been considering the theme, Something Worth Celebrating. And we saw when Ryan preached a couple weeks ago from Zechariah, as he was giving praise to the Lord for the birth of his son, John. And he talked about that he saw that there was a sunrise that was coming. It was the dawn of a new age that Jesus was going to becoming, and his son, John, was going to be part of that. And then we saw from Mary last week when Dr. Slusser preached that there was grace worth celebrating. As Mary said, that God's mercy extends to those who fear him. Last night we looked at the prophet Isaiah, and a child worth celebrating. Unto us a child is born, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And today as we look at the angels and the shepherds, we see good news worth celebrating. Good news worth celebrating. Well, what's the scene here as we look at Luke chapter 2? We see that the shepherds are out in the fields keeping watch over their flock. sort of, you just get the sense it's another night out in the on the field, you know, keeping watch over the sheep and so on. And it's interesting though, isn't it, that the announcement of the Good Shepherd who is being born is first announced or proclaimed to shepherds. I think that's just something interesting that God does, because Jesus was obviously going to come and he was going to be our Good Shepherd who would give his life for the sheep. And the announcement is first made to shepherds out there on the field. And we see that then an angel of the Lord suddenly appears. It's unfortunate in the New International that they don't keep there actually is a marker there in the Greek text to say something like behold or and lo, you know, in other words, to indicate the suddenness of what happened. I mean, these guys are just out there in the field and all of a sudden, you know, an angel appears, you know, bright light, everything. The glory of the Lord shines around them. And you know, terrified. They are afraid because of what was happening. This was not what you would normally have happen out in the field while you're watching your sheep. So what kind of announcement is it that is given? Well, the first thing that happens, obviously, is the angel says, fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid. It's interesting, if you were to read the Gospel of Luke and then also the book of Acts, which was also written by Luke, you would see that this phrase of fear not, the idea of fear, is used often in his writings. And so it has the idea, obviously, the angel is saying, don't be afraid. And the guys are saying, like, right, you know, you know, I'm seeing an angel and you're telling me not to be afraid. But the idea also, I think, has the idea of, you know, don't be afraid of what is happening, what I'm going to tell you. Embrace it. This is good news. This is something that you want to embrace. Don't be afraid about it. And throughout Luke's gospel and the book of Acts, sometimes he uses that word, don't be afraid. This is good. Embrace what is going to be said here. And then he's going to say three more things. He's going to talk about good news. He's going to talk about great joy. And he's going to talk about all people. He says, good news. I bring you good news. Notice it's not just news, and it's not bad news. It's good news. And the good news, of course, is that God has come to live with us. Jesus has been born. That phrase, and some of you may be aware of this, that phrase, good news, is the same word that is used later to refer to what we call the gospel. That Jesus Christ came, that he was born, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. The gospel. It's called the good news. And the angel is saying, I bring you good news. And we can, in a sense, see this as the gospel in its infant form. Of course, Jesus is going to have to live and die on the cross and so on. But in its infant form, the good news, the gospel, is being given. Wouldn't you admit that at Christmas time, people are looking for some good news? And they're looking all over for it. They're hoping to find it, perhaps, in the shopping that they've done this season or in get-togethers, places they go. But where do you get the good news? You get the good news from Jesus Christ. You get the good news from the Bible that tells us about it. That's where we should go for this good news. So the angel says, I bring you good news, and it's news of great joy. Again, not just joy. And I don't think there's bad joy, is there? You know, it's great joy, great joy. And it's not just an outward exuberance that he's talking about, though there is that and there should be that. But it's also a joy that is a lasting joy. It's an internal joy that can swell within us because of what has happened, what we believe, and what continues to be true. Again, many people try to find joy at Christmas. And they sing the songs, they sing the carols that we sing, though they don't really understand what they mean. They go to parties. They maybe even attend a church service, seeking to find joy. But when Christmas is over, this next week is what? One of the greatest weeks of depression for people because, Christmas is over and all the things that go, the celebrations that go with it, and now we're just sort of left to life. And we get depressed. The joy is gone. Well, the joy shouldn't be gone if we understand that what Christmas brings to us is something that is lasting, something that is internal within us. There is can be great joy. And the angel is saying, listen, listen, I am telling you, talking about great joy being available. And then this next part, he says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Now, let me ask you, are you a person? Any aliens here or things like that? I mean, we're all people, right? So then that means that this is for us. Good news, great joy, all people. If you are a person, this is good news of great joy for you today. And no one is excluded from this message. It's for all people. Unfortunately, some people don't pay attention to it. Some people ignore it. They don't realize that this is something that God really has for them. But this is good news of great joy. So the angel said, fear not. I have good news of great joy, and it's for all people. Well, what is that news? Well, now we get to see the announcement, because the angel said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. What is the announcement? Well, first of all, this may be like, duh, but it's important. This is something that really happened. Okay, this is not some mythological story. So it was a real day. Unto you is born this day. It was a real day that Jesus was born. And a real city. In the city of David. We can go back to a prophecy that the prophet Micah gave in Micah 5:2, where he said, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. The prophet Micah prophesied that the Messiah would come from the city of Bethlehem, which is the town of David. And lo and behold, God, as we talked about his zeal last night, in his zeal to perform what he has promised, he indeed brought Jesus into this world in the town of Bethlehem. It was a real city. And then, of course, it's about a person who has been born. A real live person, a little baby in a manger that was born that day. And there's three things that are said about him when it says, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. First of all, he's called a Savior. If you have ever sinned against God, you need a Savior. Hopefully we can understand that. If we realize that we are sinners, that we have sinned against God, then we need someone to save us, because we cannot save ourselves. We need someone to save us. And the truth, the truth is that only God can save us, and his plan was to send us a child that would be born, Jesus Christ, who would be our Savior through his death and resurrection. So unto you is born this day a Savior. And then it says that he is Christ. This is the word for the Messiah that is used, the promised one from the Old Testament. And we see when the angel says, unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ, who is the Messiah, the anointed one. This is the one who is fulfilling all the promises of the one promised in the Old Testament. The passage we looked at last night, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be called. This is the one that has been born in Luke 2 here. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one. We sing the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And at the end, I think it's of the first verse, you have that phrase, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. In other words, the hopes that the people of Israel had for the Messiah to come, those hopes are being met as the Messiah is born there in Bethlehem. He's a Savior who is Christ. And then the word Lord is the word that implies Jesus is himself God. He is deity. Think about what the angel is saying. He's saying that the God who made you, the God who gave you your DNA, who woke you up this morning, who has sustained you, that God in the form of Jesus stepped down into time and came into our world. The Creator has become one of us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. The hands that placed each star in place are now grabbing hold of Mary's fingers. An incredible thought to think how God has become man and has come down to us. God is with us. And we realize that it had to be that way. If Jesus was going to be our Savior, he was going to have to become a man and be the God-man, the Son of God, who could die on the cross for our sins. So we have good news, great joy for, what's the next one? All people, because he is the Savior who is Christ the Lord. What a message that the angel had. Now, no sooner as, we only can imagine this story, okay, as the shepherds are there seeing the glory of the Lord shining around them and the angel making this pronouncement. And no sooner do they pick themselves off the ground than we have the encore, okay, a heavenly host of angels. And the word implies literally thousands of angels. I mean, the sky is filled with these angels that have come to make the announcement. And that word again in verse 13, suddenly. So just as they're sort of maybe getting used to the one angel being there, boom, all the other angels show up. And I'm sure it took them back again. Quite a scene. But suddenly the host of angels come. And two key things that are mentioned here. The angels say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. First of all, glory to God in the highest. This event that was taking place, the birth of Jesus Christ, is all about God's glory. It's all about giving the attention to God, who is now making salvation available to man through the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is really how Christmas should be, shouldn't it? That God receives the glory. I think it's great that we can be here on Christmas morning because, in a sense, we want to give God the glory. We want to give God the praise and worship him because of what he has done for us. But glory to God in the highest. It's about God's glory. And then the second thing that is said, on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. The birth of Jesus brings a message of peace to it. We talked a little bit about that last night, but I want to pause a little bit, as you can see in my notes there, and just ask the question, I mean, peace, isn't that what we want? Isn't that what the world wants, is peace? And so when it says that the birth of Jesus Christ is bringing a message of peace to the world, what does that mean? How is it that Henry Longfellow, the one who wrote the words to the song that we played during the offering time, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. How is it after he had lost his wife, he wrote that song in the midst of the Civil War that was going on in America. His son had been severely wounded in the war, and it was Christmas Day, and he heard the bells, literally heard the church bells. And to them, you know, they were, in his mind, they were ringing peace on earth, peace on earth. And it was like, how can there be peace? You know, there is no peace. And yet, as he thought about it more and more, he wrote that the great words of that song, and he said, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. God is alive. There will be peace. There is peace. You just have to look for it in the right places. And I want to just talk about this idea, because the fact that the message of peace has come at Christmas, we sing in the song Silent Night, this is the dawn of redeeming grace. Christ was born to die for our sins, and the dawn of redeeming grace has come through the birth of Christ. And how can we have this peace? And it's not just world peace that's being talked about. So we talked about last night, you have to get beyond just, at the end of war. What is it that causes war? It's sin. It's death. And so a couple verses, when we'll go outside the Luke text just for a moment here. But in the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So obviously, if we're going to have peace with God, there has to be a justification that takes place, something that God does. And part of the being able to be justified, we see explained in verse 8 of that chapter, where God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ had to die on the cross in order for us to be justified. And God has to justify us in order for us to have peace. The word justification means that God declares us to be just or right in his sight. And the way he does that is it's not because of anything we've done or that we have any righteousness in us, but he transfers the righteousness of Jesus to us. Because Jesus died on the cross and rose again and paid the penalty for our sin, the righteousness of Jesus can be transferred to us. How? We're justified by faith. We have to believe. We have to put our trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. It's not by works. It's not by tradition. It's not by church membership or anything like that. It's by faith that we put our faith in Jesus as our Savior. And we believe that he died on the cross for our sins, and then we, the righteousness of Christ is counted as our righteousness, and then we have the peace of God. That's an incredible thing. And in order for us to have peace with God, we must believe in Jesus as the Savior of our lives. We have to welcome the peacemaker into our lives. And if we can realize, part of the Christmas story is that Christ has come to be the peacemaker, to be the one who brings peace, peace between us and God. And I think it's good to ask ourselves the question, have we done that? It's like God has given us this incredible Christmas gift. It's his gift that will last for eternity. It's a gift of his son and the peace that comes by accepting it. But what happens if we leave that gift under the tree and don't open it? Just let it stay there. We won't have the peace of God. We won't have a relationship with him. It'll just stay there. We ignore it. And the problem is, if we ignore it and just leave the gift there, some gifts we can leave unwrapped and maybe it doesn't really impact us at all. But if we leave the gift of God unwrapped and we don't embrace it and take it, we realize that there actually is judgment that comes because of that. Because we are still in our sins if we haven't accepted the gift. We can think of a verse that Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, that gift that he has given us, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I trust all of us have embraced that gift, and if we haven't, that today we will, that we will hurry to unwrap that gift that God has given to us, that we will acknowledge Jesus as our Savior. And then if we do that, this peace with God will extend to other areas of our life, I believe. First of all, we can have peace with ourselves. We no longer have to live in guilt. We no longer have to sort of beat ourselves up and have worries and and confusions and uncertainties, because God gives peace within our heart about our salvation and then about just our confidence that we can have in Him. And then He can give us peace with others. As hard as that might be, as we think about sometimes some relationships that we have, the peace of God can extend in us to other people as well. And I think it's such a great thing to realize, the peace that God has brought to us at Christmas time. Now, the text, we don't necessarily pick it up in the English text, but the way the text is designed in the Greek, it pushes us to the responses that come up in as we go on to verse 15. Because it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The shepherd's first response is to hurry and see. Let's go. It's hard to convey in English what that word, what it means when they say, let's go. I mean, obviously it means let go, let's go, but it means there's an urgency. We got to get on this. We got to go. And so they hurry to see. And notice they say, we want to see. They don't say, we want to see what the angel told us, do they? They say, we want to see what the Lord has told us. The shepherds understood that this message was not just angels showing up in the sky at night, you know, and, oh, that was a good thing that the angels did. No, they realized that God had come to talk to them. And they believed that, and they scurried off to Bethlehem to see, what is it that the Lord has told us about? And obviously they were given a sign. I don't know how many babies there would have been in Bethlehem that would have been wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger that night. Probably not too many. And so the shepherds, they searched, and they were able to find Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in the manger. But they didn't just take that all in, did they? We also see that when they had seen him, verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So they didn't keep it to themselves. They went and told others. And note the response of the people that heard. It says that they were amazed. Again, if you were to study the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, this word amazement or wonderment is a word that Luke likes to use when he talks about how people respond to something related to Jesus. And it implies that they're, you know, people could not just be neutral. Oh, that's nice. They thought about it. There was a response of some sort that was happening. And I think that's so true today. You know, as we hear the story once again, what is our response to it? We can't just sort of be neutral and let it sort of go away. You know, what is our wonderment? What kind of amazement do we have as we hear the story once again? But they went and they told others. And then I think this is really cool, because the other thing they do is in verse 20, they return glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. That shouldn't surprise us. God is a God who keeps his promise. And just as the angels were, shepherds were told, that's what they found. But notice how the shepherds take the place of the angels, because the angels were glorifying and praising God. And now the shepherds are glorifying and praising God. And the text doesn't say this, but I think as we read the story, I think it should cause us to ask this question. Now, who's taking the place of the shepherds? The angels glorified and praised God, then the shepherds glorified and praised God. The shepherds are gone now. Who's glorifying and praising God because of the news of the birth of Jesus? Should be us, shouldn't it? We should be the ones that others see a praise within our hearts for what God has done. And of course, the emphasis seems to be on the shepherds, and yet Luke includes this statement about Mary, where it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in their heart. And there is an important part there. Sometimes we just need to pause and reflect, don't we? We need to take in what God is doing. And very likely, we don't know for sure, but, you know, when Luke was writing his gospel, he may have paid a visit to Mary. And all these things that Mary treasured, she was able to share with Luke as he wrote his gospel. But Mary treasured the things in her heart. So as we finish this up this morning, some closing questions or a statement first. It's easy to get caught up with Christmas, but not with Christ. And I don't know how it's been the last few weeks with you as you've gone through this Christmas season, but I hopefully at least part of your time has been getting caught up with Christ. Today, no matter wherever you go in your family celebrations, will there be part of your time that where you are caught up with Christ? What is your response to the good news? Is it good to you? I hope it is. Have you heard and seen and believed? We've heard the story again today. In a sense, we see it with our spiritual eyes. Hopefully, we have embraced it. And I really urge you, do not let God's present of His Son go unwrapped for another Christmas if you have not yet embraced Christ as your Savior. And then as you look at your life, do you have the peace of Christ? Sometimes even as believers, we know positionally we have peace with God because we have been justified by faith. And yet, we allow the cares of this world to sort of take over and we don't have the peace that we should have. And this is a reminder, the message of Christmas is a reminder that we are to be people who do have peace in our hearts. And then, will you go and tell others? Will we take the place of the angels and the shepherds and now be the ones who go out and tell others the good news of Jesus Christ? I trust that the good news of Christmas will continue to ring loud and clear in our lives, that a Savior has been born, that there is peace in our hearts, because that is good news worth celebrating. We're going to close by singing a couple songs this morning. The one is one we've sung before, but it's Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery. And the mystery of the birth of Christ